This is your typical radio ad while eating a Crunch Bar.
This is Automatic of Otto's Used Cars. This weekend only, we're having a whale! Bring the kids. See for yourself. It is huge. Gonna make a big splash. No other dealer can say they have a whale like this.
When things sound dull, turn up the fun with Crunch.
Welcome to the Dairy Brothers Guardians Cast, your best podcast spot for all things Cleveland Guardians baseball. Presented by WaitingForNextYear.com. Follow Matt on Twitter at Dairy Speaks and Todd at TD Guardians KU. The Dairy Brothers Guardians Cast is on the air.
Another week, everybody. The Dairy Brothers Guardians Cast at WaitingForNextYear.com and the Evergreen Podcast Network. We're not just talking about the Cleveland Guardians. We're talking about the 11-5 and first place Cleveland Guardians following today's Patriots League Patriots Day beatdown at the Fens. First shutout for a Cleveland baseball team at Fenway since Kevin Millwood spun a jam back in 05. Todd, how about that?
Wow, that's a good stat.
Oh yeah. That was brought up on the broadcast today.
Wow. How about that? Let me tell you.
Come on, Arch.
I will say this about this team. I dig it. I dig everything that's going on right now. But it's very interesting to me because they looked so Saturday, two sloppy games, right?
Oh, against
the Yankees.
No question.
And you know, you had that feeling of schedule's been soft. Here comes a real team. We played like garbage. And then we head into Sunday and Judge hits the 3-run homer. And they're immediately down 3-0 and it's feeling like a sweep. And just, if you would have told me when they were down 3-0 in that game,
feels like an Arby's night.
Yes. And that they, essentially 24 hours later would have won both the next two games, I would have been like, no way. I don't see it. Especially the way they came back, the back and forth of Sunday, and then to have to go to Boston and play at 11 a.m. and followed up with a shutout win with Xavion Curry on the mound, not using any of their key relievers.
No.
I mean, that was, there's something special. There's something special going on.
I will say this. Not using our key relievers, Tax and Tim Heron just might
be. Oh, I'm sorry. That's right. He's in the circle of trust. Tax and Tim on April 15th.
He's fantastic right now. But, we're brought to you by the Center for Advanced Dentistry, Rise and Grind Fitness, of course, and Breaking Tea T-shirts. Matt and Todd with you after a Monday win. And the Guardians are now 8-2 on the road. Todd, 8-2 on the road. And should have been swept by the Yankees. You're right. A lot of good fortune is happening, in Oakland, hitting balls right to the A's and they're booting them. Gleyber Torres handing us the game the other day. Rizzo with errors. Today, the Red Sox are a little bit sloppy, sloppier than we were. But we pitched, we catched. Brennan with the pesky pole home run today. A little nice two-run pizza. And everybody's contributing. I mean, we were ready to throw Brennan, Florial, and Arias out. And just go get them out. None of them are doing anything. And then they all have contributed the last 2 days.
As you know, I have nicknamed Florial with four yes. A's.
Oh, yeah.
And then he shoved it right up my ass. And then
that was some bomb yesterday.
And then Gabby Arias, who is this guy the last three games?
I know.
Insane. But you know what? This speaks to Stephen Vogt using this roster to the maximum. He managed his ass off yesterday.
Oh, he did.
Everybody
was involved. Everybody. He moved Fry from first to catcher and back to first.
This is what I was going to say.
How did he pull that off?
He was pinch hitting in the spots to pinch hit. And then it was like, okay, so, now Freeman's out of center field. So now what do we do? And it's, Bo Naylor's pinch hitting and it is, but Fry was catching before. So Fry went from catcher or from first to catcher back to first. And Arias was already in the game at third. So Arias slides over to first base, but then Arias has to slide to the outfield. So to right field. So Brennan can play center after his. Yeah. He used the entire roster. He managed his ass off. I love how he did it. I love that he did stuff that Tito would never have done. I really am enjoying what he's got going so far. I mean, I really do. And to use everyone as a different chess piece back and forth and not letting guys get too cold, it's very important. What did we talk about with Tyler Freeman? What was your fantasy football team name last year?
Tyler Freeman, Sundays only.
That's right, because he only played him on Sunday, even when he was hitting. Then he'd sit the next six games or five games. It's the dumbest thing ever. How's the guy supposed to get in a rhythm when he never plays, right? Now, Florial, he gave him a shot this weekend. It seemed like, I'm not going to say this was his last shot, but he gave him the shot this weekend. He responded with back-to-back homers, including that pinch-hit homer yesterday. And then coming off the pinch-hit homer yesterday and the start on Saturday, he started him again today because Brennan and Ramon Laureano have been struggling. So he's keeping everyone fresh. I love it. And I heard in the post-game interview, someone asked him a question about the moving chess pieces, and he said, I sit there and I talk to Kai Correa and Craig Albernaz, his trusted advisors, and he said, we talk about all these scenarios, and we go over all of them, and it sounds like he's really got a good circle of trust around him. You know, guys that he brought in. Like, sure. Let's be honest. They kept Sandy Alomar because Sandy Alomar is, you know, Sandy Alomar, Cleveland Indians alumni.
He's good with the catchers.
He's
a solid assistant coach. Yeah,
I agree. I'm not saying anything bad about Sandy, but normally, you know, you let a guy come in and is going to have his own coaching staff, but they kept him. They kept Carl Willis, and those things seem to be working as well. So I'm really happy with it so far. I really am.
Certainly yesterday on Sunday, you know, ending the week going, oh man, like the Yankees are going to sweep us. We just can't beat them. They own us.
You texted that twice yesterday.
It happened at 3-0.
Do about it.
Then it happened at 7-5. And can I out you for what happened yesterday or no?
Out me. You. I have no choice now. Now go ahead.
No.
Out me.
No. Yes, you do. We could just go to the next.
I deserve it. I
might have done
it.
The same thing as you.
I deserve
well,
it.
Well, you left. You left.
Well, I have to say why. Okay.
Also, extra innings on a Sunday. You had stuff going on, didn't you?
That had nothing to do with it. What had to do with it was I watched Anthony Rizzo hit a bases loaded single scoring two. And my PTSD, every time I see Anthony Rizzo in my fucking stadium, every time I see him, it makes my skin crawl. When he comes up and he gets a hit, I want to throw up. I can't stand him. Well, I can't stand anyone on the 2016 Cubs, but he is close to the top of the list. He's in the top three with Javi Baez for sure.
You're in a lot of pain right now. Like you're a warrior at the moment. I mean, you know,
I wouldn't go that far. I'm not in Gaza. Let's be honest here. When that ball went for two runs, I did exactly the same thing that you and I did the second Michael Martinez hit that ground ball to third. I turned around and walked.
I
didn't look back.
I've never seen it.
Me neither. I won't.
When he grounded it and I saw Bryant catch it, we started walking. I didn't even watch the throw across. Exactly. I knew it was over. But why are we talking about this? Anyway.
I don't know. Stay positive. You're Mr. Positive. Stay positive.
Staying positive, but what a job by Curry today, because they needed some length. The starters have been getting racked around, way too many walks. You know, Logan Allen, Tanner Bibee, all these guys, even McKenzie, which we'll get to. Tristan's a mess.
We need to talk about that.
And I don't know what the plan is. You know, to be honest, we're going to do the pitching matchups. I have no clue. Are they going six-man rotation? Are they skipping McKenzie's? Something's going on because UNV, something's going on. Ben Lively's pitching Wednesday. But a great start to the road trip, at least, you know, and this Red Sox team, I don't even know who this team is. I mean,
it's weird seeing how lame their roster is. It's like Rafael Devers and, you know, a bunch of stiffs.
Devers, O'Neill, Casas, you've heard of, and Duran. And then that's,
but it's not big names. I mean, this is a team that
they're not spending
in every position. No,
they're not spending. It's a weird mix, but regardless, for Curry to go five today scoreless was awesome. Slider was nice, mixing his pitches in. Naylor doing a good job behind the plate. That was so needed because Cutter Crawford's pitching his ass off. He's allowed one run in four outings. So it was tough. Offense was tough to come by with the starters. But what about the X-Man today? Getting it done.
Huge. And, you know, I've been a big fan of his. And, you know, he
great was teammate.
A great teammate. Saved the bullpen last year. He was awesome. He was sick all spring. He and Lively both were not ready. And, you know, Lively's out of options, which we've discussed. Curry, you know, Carl Will, it said on the broadcast today, Carl Wills is a huge fan of his as well. So when he was ready, I always felt like he was going to come up, even though he has options. I felt like he was always going to come up and be, you know, in the pen or long man or whatever it might be, or even the fifth starter. But now, you know, and we can get into this, you know, Tristan McKenzie looks like an absolute mess. Bybee has not been sharp. Obviously, we know Shane Bieber is now out for the year. Logan Allen has been fine, I guess. But like yesterday, went six innings, he gave up four runs. I mean, it was the Yankees, and one of you know, he for the most part, you know, hung in there. But you know, right now, they may have to go six man because none of the starters are going more than six innings, and barely getting there at that. So Curry today, you know, he was on a 80 to 85 pitch limit because he's still building himself back up. And I think he threw 83 in five scoreless, and he was great. So he'll get another turn. Lively will get a turn on Wednesday. I personally, with the way Tristan McKenzie has basically no command. I mean, he walked six guys again in his last start against the Yankees Saturday night. His velocity is down.
Yeah, the velo is not there.
This stinks to me like a IL stint coming, if not Tommy John surgery coming. I mean,
oh, don't say that.
Well, listen, last year he probably was gonna could have had it, and they chose the rehab route, and the rehab route doesn't seem to be working because he has not been good. So, you know, the team needs Gavin Williams back ASAP because. You know, let's say hypothetically, and you know, for all we know, on Wednesday morning they're going to put McKenzie on the IL for Ben Lively. You know, you could be looking at a rotation with Curry, Lively, and Carlos Carrasco, which were essentially your three depth starters to start the year,
right?
And they're all going to be in there along with Logan Allen and Tanner Bibee. It's a strong possibility.
I mean, you know, they're announcing Lively for Wednesday, so another move's coming. Question is, what is it? You're right. Is it McKenzie? Are they waiting to see how he bounces back from Saturday and, you know, recovers from his arm issue or whatever's going on? I mean, they, as we know, this organization says nothing, tells you nothing. They're not very transparent. They never have been. So we'll see when it comes to injuries. We'll see. I mean, but they're playing good baseball. They're weathering some of this right now. The comeback on Sunday was incredible. And again, that's a testament to Vogt. It's also a testament to some of these young hitters that are really stepping up. I mean, Andrés Giménez, that's the guy you wanted up in that spot. You knew he was putting the ball in play. You knew he was going to drive it somewhere. David Fry. I mean, come on.
Let's talk about BGD.
Big Game Dave is clutch, man. I texted you and the executive producer. I said, we can win this game. You know why I knew that? Because I saw David Fry was in the hole. I knew he was going to get an at bat.
True story. Matt sends a text to me and the executive producer first of all, the double play itself between David Fry and Bo Naylor to essentially save the game.
Play of the year.
Unbelievable. First of all, Fry had no play hesitation, none coming home. He got that ball and gunned it home and threw a strike. Yep. Naylor had to tag, reach down, swipe tag, then get up and fired a seed over to first to Fry. And that saved the game because
in the dirt. I mean, yes. Fry's scoop was pretty good.
Absolutely. But in extra innings now, as you know, we all know with this ghost runner, the tying run comes to the plate when you're down two. So that was a big, big deal.
Yeah.
Also an assist to Alex Verdugo, that dog. If you watch the replay,
he
turned around in the middle of the running to first slowly to see what was going on. He didn't even run hard.
That was a huge break.
Huge break. But not only that,
that's good baseball.
It was great baseball. But not only that, and to your point in the text also, the Yankees were going to Caleb Ferguson, who's a lefty, which meant that Big Game Dave, was who rakes against lefties, could face that lefty, and he delivered as always. Came up with another big hit. And
he's the man.
Yes, he really certainly is. And he certainly
it's
is.
Nice. It's nice to have this kind of depth and these kind of options. You know, it's interesting. Like we said a couple days ago, you know, cousin Matt's chiming in from out west about get rid of Florial, get rid of Arias, bring up Manzardo. And I could see that. I mean, we were all saying, you know, and Manzardo had three hits the other day. So you're like, oh, he could be ready come April 19th. But now, look, I don't think Florial is long term. I thought it was a nice, he ran into one. He certainly hit a bomb yesterday. Today it was kind of back to normal for him, but you're right. The guys are into it. You know, the sketch celebrations around the bases, do you know all about that?
The jumping fist pump. I love
that
it.
And the what's up brother with the finger in the air.
I love it.
Tuesday. I mean,
but I love it. I love that stuff. Yeah.
All these teams are doing it, but like you can see the guys genuinely like playing the game together. So, you know, weathering this storm with the starting pitching and this bullpen. I mean, come on. I mean, we saw it today. Boston brought their pen guys in. We score six. We bring ours in. They score zero. I think our lineup is better than theirs, but still getting outs at Fenway Park, no lead is ever safe. So to shut them out is pretty cool. We'll take it.
And the bullpen, you know, we've been talking about this each week, but it's interesting week to week to watch how the roles are evolving. If you noticed on Saturday during the day game, it was, you know, it was a one run game, and Vogt went to Barlow in the seventh, and was it Barlow in the seventh? Was that yesterday? Barlow pitched the seventh and Barlow pitched in front of Gattis is the point of this story.
Yes.
Barlow, you know, we all
Barlow
know.
Barlow loves traded, traffic.
Yes.
Oh my God.
They traded for Scott Barlow to be the setup man. He's one of the highest paid players on the team. And Hunter Gattis, the bounty hunter, let me tell you that this guy real deal back
there. He hit triple digits yesterday.
Not only that, he's pitching with this newfound confidence.
Yeah, perfect.
Obviously, the gas is there, but he's able to maximize his two pitches as a reliever. But not everybody is built for high leverage situations. No. We've seen that with many, many guys over the years. He just seems to have the mentality that's working, which is great. And so he seems to now be the guy who's going to be slotted in front of Emmanuel Clase, which is great. And I have to say it, he was great today again. Tim Herron's way up there in the high leverage, you know, conversation at this point. I mean, I know he's your lone lefty out there, but he's been really, really good. When his command is there, he's been really good. Yeah. Barlow hopefully will come around. I've never been a huge fan. He's always, like you said, he loves traffic. He's always been, as Ag says, effectively wild. He worries me a little bit, but you can't just rely on the same guy. So he's trying everyone. Beedy has been doing a nice job. You know, yesterday was tough, but he got that double play when he needed it at the end, when it was 7-5, that great double play turn between Bo Naylor and Fry. And I mean, for the most part, other than Eli Morgan, and, you know, even Strezelecki the other day pitched a score at 1-2-3 inning. He was just sent down.
Yeah, they sent him back down.
Yeah, yeah. So
what happens when Henches comes back? I mean, Cade Smith's been really good. I mean, you can't.
I can't even forget Cade. I don't know if you saw this, but Cade was among some. Of course, now I don't remember the stat. It was something they showed on the broadcast. There were four. There's only like four guys in, you know, major league history with something in their starting their career, you know, my 9 innings and it's averaging, awesome, you know, 13 Ks per nine, whatever it is, and not giving up a run. It's been Cade Smith. You can't send him down. You're going to need two guys to go for Big Sam and Lively. I don't know when Sam hasn't started a rehab assignment, right?
Not yet. No.
Okay. So we still have some time there, but two guys are going to have to go. And to me, it'll be McKenzie on the IL Wednesday, I bet. And I still don't know how you keep Eli Morgan on this roster over any of the other guys out there the way the other guys are pitching.
No, it's a good problem to have. Good depth.
Absolutely.
Good problem to have. Glad to see it. I mean, yes, the offense is much better than it was a year ago. It's a small sample size. They played 16 games. But if you told me 11-5 and 8-2 on the road, And yeah, I mean, you know, you come home and you had to play, you know, the White Sox, and certainly there was a disappointment there, but you still took 2 out of 3. The Yankee series really turned on Sunday. That was a huge, huge comeback and win. And it shows the fight, but really this team played like that under Tito. You can't just say, oh, they're playing hard for vote. They are, but it's a good vibe right now. You can see it. And the pen has been fantastic because the starters over this past week, Todd really struggled, but yet bullpen guys picked them up when they needed to.
Yep. And the thing is with the starting rotation, this is not sustainable to be, as we said earlier, it's not sustainable to be going 5 innings every time and getting your bullpen having to pitch 4 every time. We watched that last year and, you know, somewhat the year before. You can't live that way. So no. They'll figure it out. You know, the guy I most that really needs to do better and turn it around with his command is Bibee. You know, he scuffled in that Sox game earlier this week. He did not pitch well. You know, they jumped all over Logan Allen. They jumped all over him. And again, that was the White Sox, and somehow they still managed to take 2 out of 3 in that series, which was pretty amazing. But you know, so you're in Boston this week, you know, for these 4 games, and then you get to Oakland again, who's, you know, garbage as we know. And then Boston,
yeah, they're actually playing better.
They are playing better, but yeah, come on, you got to beat that team. I mean, there's no excuse to not win that series. Yeah.
Oh yeah, for sure.
So I mean, I'm really enjoying at pretty much everything. I'm enjoying I would have said early, the only thing that is a real, well, that I'm not enjoying currently is this right field platoon, where it's really now 3 guys, you know, because it was really Laureano and Brennan for the most part,
right?
Up until
now Florial's involved.
Now yeah. Florial's in the mix, but it's too bad Kyle Manzardo doesn't play right field, you know, because that would be an easy switch, right? Bring up Manzardo, play him in right field. I mean, he's not a right fielder. You do not want to put Josh Naylor out there. And I know people, you know, I know in the spring they mentioned, oh, maybe Naylor can play in the outfield. You can't do that. You can't. No. Especially with Tyler Freeman playing center field, and who still looks great out there and is doing a really nice job defensively.
He is. I mean, and today was not easy because you had the wind, you had, you know, it's tough out there at Fenway in that triangle out there. And he ran down a few balls, or he got a lot of action today out in center field. But it's early. For sure. But for Arias to be doing this the last couple of days, for Florial to hit the home run that he hit, it's like, all right, let's just trust our manager to put the right lineups out there. I mean, we're looking out there going, wait a minute, why is Laureano playing so much? But then he hits a ball off the wall that probably should have been a triple the other day.
He didn't run hard, and he should have ended up on third. And the second he didn't get to third, I was there for that also. I turned to Dr. Borland and I was like, you know what? He should be on third. That is lame.
I forgot you were at the game with Dr. Van Nostrand.
That's right. From the clinic.
Love it. But all right. So 3 more with the Red Sox this week, 2 night games and a day game Thursday. And then the A's this weekend. Possibility. I might be making a trek in. We'll see about that.
Stephen Vogt is calling your name. He would like to he'd like to see you in person down at the corner of Carnegie in Ontario. Can I also make a since this is our first pod since the home opener, let me also just say that getting rid of the shipping containers.
Oh yeah. How's it looking?
Fantastic. Oh my God, it looks so much better. I mean, it's a construction zone out in left field, you know, with the Terrace Club now gone, and it's basically covered with a big Guardians banner, and a couple of the walkways are blocked off, and you know, so it's a construction zone. And yes, having half the seats blue and half the seats green, also ridiculous, but my new padded seats are very plush.
Oh yeah,
I'm going to enjoy them while I can, because next year I won't be in them, considering how much they're going to cost. But that's another topic. We're staying positive today.
That's a discussion for another day.
Yes, we're staying positive. You know, all positivity.
We've got to. Yeah. Something's got to give here.
Something's got to give. That's true.
You're too dedicated of a fan not to be there.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I'll be. Listen, I'm going to be there. It's just not going to be in my usual, seats. I'll spend what I spend. Now I'm not spending what they want me to spend on those seats. It's just not going to happen. But the weather this week also, I mean, how many Aprils have I gone to games where I've been like, oh my God, this is amazing. I wore shorts and a t-shirt yesterday and it was great. You know, the home opener.
Hot enough out there for you.
How about that barometric pressure? I at the home opener, you know,
that was crazy.
Brooke and I went, and you know, she was wearing like a friggin', you know, she had her jersey open with her, you know, crop tank and shorts, and it was pleasant. How many home openers have I been? Let's go back to 07 when it was, you know, Goggle Boy was in his goggles throwing snowballs.
Snow
yeah.
Game?
Yeah.
That was when he refused ball to give the ball. He refused to give the ball to the kid. what an embarrassment.
God bless the Meister.
That was not his best day.
By the way, shout out to Brenda for her 80th birthday.
That's huge.
Big 8-0.
Man. Fantastic.
For the grandmother executive producer herself.
Everybody's getting the shout out.
This is G.
Rise and Grind Fitness, Todd, are you still? Oh, so I had a conversation with our good friend Zach Meisel this week, and I said, when are you getting out to Rise and Grind? He's like, I gotta get out there.
It's inexcusable.
He does. Point. He's got to get out there, but the invite is there, right?
Oh, yeah. You know, in bigger fitness news this week, we hear that Gunner is leaving the gym. Is that true?
That's way too inside. Way too inside.
Everyone knows about your trainer, Gunner. Come on. He's got the best who said
I'm very emotional about
the
doc,
the doctor, the good doctor
his,
said
as his
Gunner
Derrick.
Just sounds like a trainer's name to me. But yes,
the best.
back to Rise and Grind.
Moving on to the Rochester location. Yes, but go ahead.
Yes. Okay. Got it. Rise and Grind Fitness in beautiful downtown Woodmere on the corner of Chagrin and Brainerd. If you're looking for group fitness classes, we got them all. We got yoga. We got bar. We got interval strength training. We got bike boot camp. We got regular boot camp. We got cycle. We have it all. There's something for everybody, every skill level as well. So check us out, riseandgrind.com, R-Y-Z-E-A-N-D, grind.com. Or if you're an Instagram person, go to @riseandgrindfitness, and you can watch all the videos and see what we do there, get a good feel for our studio. You know, it's awesome people, you know, a very welcoming, all-inclusive place. You'll really dig it. So check us out. You know, obviously tell them I sent you. If you're calling, if you're a listener, free first class is free. So check it out. riseandgrind.com. But D's, what about the Center for Advanced Dentistry and Dr. Sean and Dr. Ben? Come on. How about those two?
It's the best place to go to get your teeth cleaned. If you're looking for a new dentist, you're on the east side. Even if you're on the west side, go to cfad.net. Center for Advanced Dentistry. Dr. Ben is the best. Sean's taken over. He's not taken over in popularity because nothing beats Dr. Ben. I think Sean would tell
you
that.
No one's more popular than Dr. Ben. Come on. He's America's dentist.
But your girl's still there.
Sandy,
the whole crew. And we love them and we appreciate their support here. Center for Advanced Dentistry, cfad.net. And if you're looking for gear, whether it's Josh Naylor, Jose Ramirez, whatever, you want to get yourself some, Guardians gear, t-shirts related to the players, go to breakingtee.com/dairy. Takes you right to the Cleveland collection. Cavs playoffs start this week. I know you're excited as the Cavaliers will take on the Orlando Wolverines. Magic. this weekend. It's a freaking weekend. There'll be games at Progressive Field and right across the street there at the Gilbert Center.
You know, yesterday, it's funny, I just figured it out this morning when I was listening to our good friends Ken and Anthony over at 92.3, and they were talking about yesterday's Cavs game. I guess the Cavs, like, completely tanked it in the fourth quarter or something.
Yeah.
Okay, so and they were talking. Yesterday...
Well, they tanked the whole game. A lot of guys sat.
No. But yesterday, I went to the game, and all of a sudden, I come around, you know, get off at ninth, and I'm wrapping around... And there's all this traffic. It's not moving. I was like, I've never sat in traffic like this here. What's going on? I had no idea the Cavs were playing at the same time. And that was why.
Yeah. I think they're playing the Hornets. They're still an NBA team in Charlotte.
Listen, what I know about the current NBA, you could, you know, fit into a thimble as they would say back in the day.
Nice.
Probably
nice.
Something Underwood would say. Fit into a thimble. So
Ken and Anthony feuding with Danny Parkins. That's a good bit.
Excellent.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
What did he call them? They're an embarrassment, or what did he call? He called them something.
I think he called, it was like either, it was like not second rate, but
I don't know.
A couple of clowns, maybe.
I prefer Ken's feud with Filippone from Pittsburgh. Pony.
That's Pony. Pony.
That's a great bit too.
Yeah.
So
anyway, I did it, and I did a spot with them this week.
Yes, you did. You did. You sounded great.
Some guards.
Appreciate the shout out. And Ken kind of let the cat out of the bag a little bit, but it's not official yet. So we're
no.
We're leaving it at that.
No names, please.
Exactly.
Got to keep that down low.
I'm assuming. I don't know if the Cavs are going to open Saturday or Sunday, but that would mean be crazy down at. Down the corner of Carnegie and Ontario.
Well, listen, we were also remember, you know, the one time when they had, it was game one of the World Series was the same night that the Cavs were getting their championship rings in in the fall of 2016. So nothing could top that, obviously. But yeah, I don't know. Well, what else we got going?
I mean, this McKenzie thing, you know, the velo down, I think because he's not pumping it in there at 94, 95, like he did when he first arrived here. Like it's just, it's in his, it's some of it's in his head. I do wonder what the organization is going to do.
I think
because they got to make it, like you said, they got to make a decision on Wednesday.
Why else would Ben Lively be pitching Wednesday if they weren't either pushing him back or putting him on the IL?
Well, isn't his rehab stint over? There's only a certain amount of, and he's
the, yes, but they could have brought him up and put him in the bullpen. They're giving him a start.
I guess.
So yeah. I don't know. And to be honest with you, I don't know what to expect from Ben Lively. It's different with Curry because we at least had watched him for a full year on the major league roster. I have zero feel for the guy. Zero. But, you know, they went and got him and he was out of options. So they obviously see something. So they also saw something in Florial and he, you know, they traded a depth arm in Cody Morris to get him. I haven't seen where Cody Morris is currently. Do you know?
I haven't
looked it up. Is he in? He's hurt. Oh, there's a little bit.
I know. I don't because he would have been on the Yankees. What did he?
I would imagine.
Look that up. I thought he was injured. Because you're right. The Yankees kept bringing in these relievers, and I'm like, this is their
same thing. I'm like, who are these guys?
Clay Holmes, Ian Hamilton, and then just a bunch of scraps.
Like Luke Weaver.
Yeah, former Diamondback, great.
It's like Mitchell Friedman. I've used that bit already once. I don't know why I just said it again. Okay, Cody Morris.
Yeah, look up Cody Morris. I'll give you some matchups. So we know tomorrow is Tanner Bibee in Boston against Garrett Whitlock. No relation to that right-wing whack job.
That piece of gut. Just say it. He's a piece of garbage.
Oh,
he is.
Ben Lively on Wednesday night against Tanner Houck. And then Thursday, Cooper Criswell, no relation to Cooper Forrest, will be pitching Thursday afternoon. Against, we would think,
who?
Carrasco.
Or Cooper Silver. Right.
But again, then you're big talking
listener of the
Friday.
Cooper Silver, by the way.
Is he? Who else are we shouting out?
Silver
we
Boys?
To shout somebody out.
Cousin Julie's friend Kurt. Right?
Hold
Kurt?
On.
I have a shout out for you, too, that I have to get in. My
Hold
favorite,
on. Kurt's last
my
name.
Favorite this city councilman, nice. Brent Silver. The king saw him ride a bull on Saturday night.
Whoa.
He's a P1 listener.
Shout out to Kirk Lintern.
Yes.
Captain Kirk, as we called him. His son's a good looking kid too. we love Kirk. Kirk's the man. He was in cousin Kathy's class at Hawken. And he's a big Dairy Brothers Guardians cast listener. So Kirk, we love you. Thanks.
There's nothing better than hearing from one of our relatives that, wait a minute, I just put two and two together. You're related to Matt and Todd? I mean, like, your last name is Derry, you know, with one R. You're related to us one way or another in this city, for sure.
What about Cousin Frank Derry? Remember Cousin Frank?
Two R's, though, with Cousin
Brown's
Frank.
News Illustrated back in
That's
the day?
That's right. Well, it's funny because I was at this party
love
Saturday night.
Love Francis.
Great, I was at this party with Cousin Brent Silver this weekend, and I was... barely knew anybody. And I'm talking to this guy, real nice guy, Kurt Ringenbach. His son, Henry, will be playing football at Worcester in the fall. Is it Worcester or Worcester?
Worcester.
Worcester? Okay. Well, anyway. Yeah. Anyway, he's like, I've been working out at this place. And he's like, you know, I've been meaning to meet you. I've been working out at this place in Chagrin. And the guy's name is, you know, whatever, Joe Derry. And everyone keeps asking me, oh, I know Todd. You mean Todd? And they're like, no. It turns out we looked him up and he was 2 R's also. So
that's oh, really? Oh, okay.
Yeah. That's only like one R.
That's like when I started teaching at U of D High and I got there and someone's like, oh, so you're Joey's dad. And I'm like, no idea who that is. And they're like, Joey Derry. Look him up.
Joey Bell.
Joey D-E-R-Y. Same spelling. Never wow. had met the kid. Yeah. No relation. So
I think, anyway.
Parents, I think his dad's a dentist here in the dirty south of Southfield, Michigan. But so, yeah, so that leaves Friday, Saturday, Sunday. I mean, right now it's kind of to be determined. If McKenzie is still healthy and they're going to pitch him, he would pitch Friday. But we see Boyle, Wood, and Stripling this weekend. When the
Who's
A's
the first one?
Boyle.
Boyle? What's his first name? You don't even know.
Joe Boyle. We had Boyle. We didn't see
that
him.
That sounds fake.
He's that 6'7" guy. The real tall pitcher for the A's. Young guy.
Sounds fake. Joe
He's got
Boyle.
A 6 ERA, so that's good.
Okay.
But I like how they're playing, Todd. I mean, here we are. We're sitting at 11-5. Royals. Everybody's talking about the Royals. Fine. Keep talking about
Fine. Kansas let them talk about the Royals.
Please
let them
keep
talk about, the
about
Royals.
Bobby Witt and MJ Melendez and Vinny. Go right ahead. Keep stroking Kansas City. That's fine. We just win. Yeah. Just keep winning.
They'll be getting theirs when they come to town in June.
Schedule's so weird. Like,
yeah.
Guardians don't come to the unnamed until June or July also.
Yeah. It's a very bizarre schedule. You know, with this, you play everybody, you know, in the entire league now, which I still think is so stupid, but yeah. Hey, who knows? But I will be, speaking of, before we go, have you seen our old friend, the Redacted X shortstop? And I'll just use his name now at this point, because who cares? Francisco Lindor. Have you looked at his numbers?
Yeah, I watched him in person when they play the unnamed team. He's terrible.
I mean, he's been absolute garbage for them. They're booing him at home.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, he's in a major slump. It's I'd feel sorry for him if, if he didn't basically play his way out of, do all the things that he could to act like he wanted to be here. And then, you know, obviously was never going to stay. 129 with a 430 OPS entering that age 30 season this way. It's only going one way.
Ouch.
And that's going downhill for the Redacted one. But I will be there.
He lost
on May 20th. When
he lost
returns to Cleveland. When did he lose you?
He made the comments about. Yeah, he may lost me when he made the comments about Tom. He didn't like that Tom Hamilton called him Frankie. Like, get out of here.
Oh, that was but that. That was, you know, so weak.
That
was weak.
Tom Hamilton.
That was
is
weaker than
Guardians
a yeah. Whatever. By the way, one last quick one. Have you noticed every time? Like, yes, on Saturday again, or whatever, Sunday's walk-off winner, and Bo Naylor's walk-off winner was, what, Wednesday? Or whatever night Bo Naylor's walk-off hit was. First guy out of that dugout, and first guy hugging Bo Naylor, Austin Hedges. And it was a great picture I sent to you and the executive producer. Hedges has this giant smile on his face. And he's just grabbing him. I don't care that he can't hit. The man deserves to be here and having three catchers, by the way, the fact that Fry can catch and play first and play corner outfield and play third, it's so valuable. But Hedges' presence and Cookie Carrasco's presence in that clubhouse cannot be undersold. I'll say it again. No. Hedges can stay here as long as he wants. I don't care if he can't hit. And if you don't like it, I got two words for you.
I mean, right. Those two veteran guys being here makes a difference. It does. It's not just, it's about, you got to have guys with high OPS. You got to have guys that can pitch. Certainly low ERAs, low whips, all these things. Got to have talent. But in that sport with 162 games, the grind that it is, everything else that goes on in the game, the amount of failure that goes on in the game, you got to have veteran leaders that can pick these guys up. I saw it the other day with the unnamed team. With McKinstry made a three-run error, and then Hinch made him pitch. He was like, oh, my God.
Are you serious?
That's what I was texting you the other day.
I mean, I remember you said he made a three base error, but I didn't realize.
Then he put him in there to pitch. Jeez, that's to finish out a game. It was like, that's when you have veteran leaders in there that police that stuff. And so far, so good. I mean, 11-5.
Such a,
Yeah, bang more garbage cans, AJ.
Yeah, he invented baseball, though. Just ask him, he'll tell
you. That's right. All right, that'll do it for the Dairy Brothers Guardians cast, waitingfornextyear.com, the Evergreen Podcast Network, brought to you by Rise and Grind Fitness, Breaking Tea t-shirts, breakingtea.com/dairy, and also the Center for Advanced Dentistry. Three more of the Red Sox, three this weekend with the A's. Got to take advantage. Who knows how long Tyler O'Neill's going to be out now after he smashed his head.
Wow. Again,
with Devers today. That was scary.
Very. Oof.
You know, both guys got up and walked it off. I don't know. O'Neill, that was very scary. I mean, face into the back of the head of Devers. That was nuts. But that's what the Red Sox have been doing all year. They're the worst defensive team in the league. So keep putting the ball in play and letting them kick it around. And we'll talk to you all next week. We are out of room and out of here.
Don't you know that you're a grown-up?
I'm a grown-up.
Me too.
Yep, me too. But you know, these days, being a grown-up can really suck.
Luckily, we're grown-ups who grew up in the coolest generation.
We had video arcades.
And also some of the best TV and movies ever made.
We lived the origin of awesome consumer electronics. The list goes on and on.
Yep, Generation X.
Exactly.
And we're Gen X Grown-Up.
Every week, the Gen X Grown-Up podcast explores media, tech, toys, games, and more from both yesterday and today.
Through the eyes of Generation Xers who absolutely love that stuff. You can find us on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts.
Or find us on our website, GenXGrownUp.com. Life sucks as a grown-up. All right, you think that was good enough?
I hope so, man. I'm tired.
Who listens to a promo on a podcast and then goes and listens to a different podcast?
Right. I've never done it.
So, no, right.